Proverbs chapter 13, if you'd find that. Proverbs chapter 13, and this Mother's Day, you know, you always feel compelled to a degree to preach something along the time of the holiday. Honestly, I don't think God's too concerned about that. I think he's more concerned with us getting something from his word. But maybe, as a matter of fact, I had something all week that I was going to preach on this morning, something else all week. And very recently, in my reading, I came across something and the Lord struck me with it. And I believe this to be something he's laid on my heart for us today. In Proverbs, in chapter 31, the Bible says in verse 15, she riseth also, I mean, Proverbs 31, 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart, Lord, you want to do a work this morning. Lord, the theme, the focus, the point of the message this morning, I believe you want to use it in the hearts of those that have trusted you as their Savior. I always know, according to your word, that you want to save souls. You said it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray as sincerely as I can, as I have, I pray you'd use this message to accomplish your will, I pray. I know this. I know according to the book of Isaiah, your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. So, Lord, whatever your purpose is this morning, I pray accomplish it. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter 31, is probably one of the most famous proverbs in all the Bible, especially on Mother's Day. It's about the virtuous woman. Back in earlier in chapter 31, verse 10 begins it. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. But what does it mean to be virtuous? And what does virtue mean? Well, if you look the meaning up, it means a moral life, moral conduct, a particular moral excellence. In the 14th century, they had seven cardinal virtues, and they were divided into natural virtues and theological virtues. The natural virtues were justice, prudence, temperance. The theological, hope, faith, and charity. The word, though, virtue has kind of, in time, has become a little bit broader, I suppose. It carries the idea, and if you listen to this, as a matter of fact, in some dictionaries, you can actually even read this. I believe Webster gives this out. It says, the character of a person or object that influences its surroundings. Now listen carefully. The character of a person or an object that influences its surroundings. I could say, you see the beautiful roses before us. We're going to give those out, one to every mother here this morning. But I could say this as an illustration of what that definition means. I could say, by virtue of the roses, the room was fragranced. By virtue of the roses, the room was fragranced. The rose had an odor, and it had influence on the room it was in. In other words, the rose had an effect on its surroundings. And the effect it had was its nature. That's virtue. Virtue typically is never spoken of in the negative, always in the positive. We say that someone has virtue if they do right. We say someone is a character if they're wrong. Amen? No one says by virtue of the thief everything was stolen. Because we don't consider thievery a virtue. Virtue is typically always positive. Proverbs 31 mentions the virtuous woman in verse 10, then spends the rest of the chapter, 30 other verses, describing her virtue. This morning, I'd simply like to look at one particular one. I'd like you to go to verse 18 and look at the second half, because it's going to be, I'd like you to underline or highlight it if you would. The second half of Proverbs 31 verse 18 says, her candle goeth not out by night. Would you just say that with me? Her candle goeth not out by night. That wasn't bad. Let's try it again. Her candle goeth not out by night. This virtuous woman, her candle goeth not out by night. But what's her candle? Well, notice verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I think in the very context of the passage, her candle would be that which she gets up in the middle of the night, and she cares for everyone else before everyone is up. I haven't thought about this for years. I thought about it when I was putting this message together. I haven't thought about it for years, though. I remember when we used to take that long, 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 boring journey to Somerset, Kentucky. Don't mock, it was 2.5 hours. And for a kid, that was an eternity. And we'd get down there, and at the time, my grandparents lived in a place called Whetstone. It was just probably 20 minutes outside of Somerset. They had this old house, just this little old box house. One of those houses where there is no entranceway, there is no foyer, there is no hallways to rooms. You go through rooms to get to rooms. When you'd walk into it, there was the living room, and there was a pot-belly coal stove. And to the right, that was Grandma and Grandpa's bedroom that you walked through to get to the kitchen. If you went this way, you walked back to the other bedroom. That was typically the bedroom that I slept in. They had a big tick feather mattress that you slept in. Had an old tin roof that you'd hear the rain pitter-patter during the night, and you'd fall asleep to the rhythm of it. But I remembered when I was putting this together, I thought about that. She riseth in the night. And for meat for her family. And I thought to myself, I remembered when I would wake up. I'd wake up in the morning to soft whispers in the kitchen. I could hear them back where I was at. They were trying to be quiet to let everybody else stay asleep. I remember the incidental clanging of the pots or the dishes they were being pulled out of the cupboard. And then the sizzling of the bacon as it was frying. That's what I'd wake up to. Matter of fact, I remember as a kid, when I grew up in Reading. And I remember on Saturdays when Dad wasn't working, Mom would pull out the big breakfast. The big breakfast was, get ready now, hold on to your seats. It was eggs, and it was sausage or bacon, and it was gravy, and it was biscuits. Right? Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And I remember as a kid, I would wake up to the sizzling of that, and I literally would. I would quiver with the excitement of that meal. I thought to myself when I thought about that, I thought, that's where Jake gets it from. Amen. It says in 15, she would rise while it's night and give meat unto her household. I think that's what the candle is. But, don't miss this, the candle's more than that. Her candle goeth not out by night. The candle is hope. The candle's love. The candle's long-suffering. The candle's forgiveness. And any other attribute you may have learned from your virtuous mother. Then, preacher, what of the night? The night in which the candle is not extinguished. What is the night? Well, the light night in the text, I think in verse 15. Get ready, this is deep. I think it's night. That's a hard one, isn't it? But the night is more than that. Her candle goeth not out by night. The night is hurt. The night is disappointment. The night is discouragement. The night is temptation to hold on to the grudge or to become bitter. That's the night. Her candle goeth not out by night. Her love, her patience, her long suffering. It doesn't go out when the disappointments come. It doesn't go out when the discouragements come. It doesn't go out when the frustrations come. And as I looked at that, I thought, how sad those children in our world who live within a home where the mother's candle has gone out on them. The virtuous woman doesn't go out. Years ago, I got a hold of a series of tapes. It was from a Southern Baptist. He was the National Education Director for the Southern Baptist Convention. His name was Leon Kilbreth. He was an older gentleman. He preached Sunday school revivals throughout the country. He preached one in Georgia. That's the one I got the video from. He started out the meeting. He was going to give all the nuts and bolts to Sunday school. But before that, they started on an evening. And he preached to them on this subject, I must be a maximum Christian. Some of you know the story because I gave you the message and you listened to it. He told the true story of a couple. They were a young couple. They had prayed for years as husband and wife. They wanted to have a child, and yet God, for some reason, did not give them a child. And then after praying for a long time and saying, Lord, if you'll give us a child, we'll loan him back to you. We'll dedicate him to you. And not long after that prayer, she was found to be with child. Their lives were just blissful in making the nursery and putting wallpaper of the little old lady who lived in the shoe and all that, just to have the crib and everything. It was just a 9 months of bliss. And then the time came where she went into labor and they went to the hospital, and he was waiting on her to get, or waiting on them to get her ready so he could go in and stay with his wife. But it seemed to be a long time, and after quite some time, the doctor came out. And the doctor said, listen, we've ran into some problems, and there's some real complications. And just to be frank with you, we are convinced, I've consulted with several doctors, we're convinced that before this baby's born, it's either going to be the life of your wife or it's going to be the life of the baby. He said, but you can't worry about that right now. He said, you go in, you need to be with your wife. You can understand the feeling of the husband. The husband went in, and the husband, as he walked in, ready to make a case of save your life, honey, I don't want to lose you. He said, a little hand raised up from the bed and said, let's not argue. He said, we prayed for this child. Did we not? Yes, we did. And God answered our prayer. We didn't know it was going to take my life to bring it into the world. But I decided I'm going to give my life for this child. Her candle goeth not out by night. I want you to get the thought, and I want you to get it wrapped around your head, because that's the virtuous woman. The candle is more than just a fixture to bring light in a darkened room. The candle, the night is more than just the absence of the sun or absence of a bright moon. The darkness is heartache. The darkness is hurt, and the darkness is frustration, and the darkness is the loss of hope. And yet her candle doesn't go out. It was the self-centered Rachel. Please don't get angry at me. I don't mean to. But Rachel, she died upon bringing Benjamin into this world. If you know your Bible, you know that it was not Rachel that named him Benjamin. It was Jacob. As she was passing, Rachel named him Benoni. And Benoni means son of my sorrow. But her candle goeth not out by night. You know, it's amazing how quickly we lose the zeal, how quickly we lose the patience, how short it is that we stay with someone, that we're on their side, we're behind them. But that virtuous woman, her candle goeth not out by night. And I have to tell you, that's not where really this message began. It actually began in Psalms 119. Would you go there real quick? I was reading in Psalms 119, and I came across the verse, and when I came across the verse, I said, oh my, oh my. The Lord opened my eyes. He said, do you see that theme? And there's a theme that runs through Psalms 119. As a matter of fact, that theme, there's probably many things, but this is the one that came to my mind. Psalms 119, find verse 78, would you? Psalms 119, verse 78. Notice what it says. As I was reading this verse, it says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. He said this. He said, there's proud and they're dealing with me wrongfully and they're dealing with me perversely and they're wearing me down, but I will meditate in thy precepts. And the Lord said, you see that? He said, there's a lot of those in this chapter. Like go to Psalms 119:51. These are all in Psalms 119. In 51, it says this, the proud have had me in great derision, mocking, ridicule. Yet have I not declined from thy law. And I begin to notice this. You know what it is? What it is there's something that is trying to get me to a point where I forsake the book, where I forsake the law of the Lord, where I forsake right. And throughout the book of Psalms 119, throughout that chapter, throughout of it, this theme goes through. They were doing this, but I've still held on to your law. They were doing this, but I've still held on to right. They were doing this, but your law was still my meditation. Look in Psalms, the same chapter, but look in Psalm, or in verse 87. It says, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. How about verse 141? Look at that. The psalmist says, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Do you see it? Do you see how there is this push? There is something that's trying to move them away from what God wants, what God says. What God says is right. There's this pressure. And the psalmist over and over again says, they're doing this and this is happening, but I've held on to your precepts. And my favorite, verse 83 says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Wow. Look up here. I've got to stop at that one for a few minutes. Bottle in the smoke, yes. I don't have time to develop it or prove it to you, but I know it's true from Scripture. When we say bottle, we think glass, or we think some kind of earthen vessel. Sometimes in the Bible, it was an earthen vessel. Many times a bottle was what we would call a skin. Two skins sewn together that they would fill up with wine, with grape juice that would ultimately ferment on a natural basis. It would stretch the skin. That's why Jesus said, no man putteth old wine or new wine into old bottles. He said the old bottles are already stretched. If you put new wine, when it begins, the fermentation begins to happen, it'll rip the bottles. And he said, rent. He said, rent the bottles. Over in the book of Joshua, when the Gibeonites came to feign themselves to come from a far country, they said, look at our bottles, which are rent. Wait a minute, glass doesn't rent. And so he said, I become like a bottle in the smoke. We first came to our house over there 21, 22 years ago. The basement had filled up with 30 inches of water because they'd turned the electric off. It was in foreclosure for 2 years and it filled up. It was a finished basement, black mold in the basement, the whole thing. We didn't know it. We walked in. It smelled like a cave. You ever try to get an odor out of something? Can you imagine a skin that's been sitting in the smoke and the smoke has permeated it? Whether it be you could put it in a mildewed condition or a moldy condition, and it would take on that moldy mildew condition. Anybody ever been to a restaurant and asked for tap water, and when you drink it, you have that moldy taste to it, and you're wondering what's in the pipes? I have become like a bottle in the smoke. And so anything that comes in, when it's poured out, has that taste. There are Christians, you know what? There are Christians, and what you've gone through, what you're going through, the difficulties, the problem, you know what it's done? It's made you just like a bottle in the smoke. Oh, it could be bitterness or anger or malice or wrath or name it off. But anything that comes in, it comes out like that. You say, why? Because the situation, the difficulty, the problem, the issue has permeated you. But you know what the psalmist said? He said, yet I've kept thy precepts. He said, this is in me. This is through me. Cut me. Dissect me. There's no place you can find. This has not gotten into me. He said, and as tempting as it is to say, he said, I've still kept your precepts. But, your candle goeth not out by night. You see, I believe there's a marvelous principle, a marvelous lesson, a marvelous virtue to learn from this Proverbs 31 woman. Something that transcends gender, age. The virtue of, there's pressure that I could have quit under. There's pressure that I could have gotten bitter under. There's issues that could have made me angry and malice. It's even tempted me. But I have not forsaken thy word. I hope you get the idea. To me, it's a profound thing that this woman carries, this virtuous, nameless woman carries a trait that is good for me. There's something for all of us in the character trait of this virtuous woman. The idea of not quitting. The idea of not being diverted away from that which is right. We go to the New Testament. We find the New Testament has the same thing. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul told Timothy, he said, hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And in Revelation 2, speaking to the church at Thyatira, John said this. He said, I know people have gone astray. He said, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. You know what he's saying? Don't let go of right. Don't give in to wrong. Don't give in to the smoke. Don't give in to the bitterness. Don't allow it to lead you off. Thank God for every mother that even though she was disappointed in her children, her candle didn't go out. The hope didn't go out. The love didn't go out. The prayers didn't go out. Oh, to have a mother like that. To have a mother that will look at you on your worst day and say, it's disappointing, it saddens me, I weep at night, but you know what? My candle is still lit for you. I can't imagine something any more important for a child to know. Long time ago with my youngest, there was a lot of different learnings we had to work on. It was a different situation for us. We'd had three. Sometimes I'd have to correct him. And he'd say to me, he'd say, Daddy, don't you love me anymore? And I'd say, oh, son, I said, there is nothing you can do ever in this life that will ever strip my love from you. God help that candle not to go out. Her candle goeth not out by night. But I'm thinking about Christians, that something happened and a candle went out in your life. I'm thinking about Christians where circumstances or situations embittered you, hurt you, frustrated you, wore you down, and it can't be said of you, their candle went not out by night. Oh, the night was dark, the night was cold, the night was uncertain, the night was discouraging. But you became as a bottle in the smoke. You became permeated by it. That's all you saw, that's all you thought about. And oh, how easy it is. The writer of those New Testament passages, those writers said, hold fast, don't let your candle go out. Here's my question. Why not? Why hold fast? Why? Why? Why try to keep that candle lit? And why do I have to hold on to it? And you know, it's a battle. It's just a battle. You go out and I've told the story many times. You all know it. I don't think I've told it since Brian and his family have been back. But I remember, you remember years ago, did I tell this since you've been back? I'm going to tell it now. He's sitting there with a straight face saying, oh my goodness, what is he going to say? Okay. You know, I could say, I could make something up on him right now. I really could, yeah. We're riding cycling. Remember that cycling? We went down to Morrow, turned around, and I was behind you because I was drafting behind you, right? And when I draft behind him, I got as close as I could to get every bit of the drafting benefit I could get, all right? Because he was a much better rider than I was, all right? And so I'm behind him, and this guy, one of these recumbent, is that a recumbent bike? Yeah. Where they lay down, you know, because, I mean, isn't that... You talk about laying down on the job. Why are you laying down on a bike, right? Come on. So he's laying down like this. And he's got these, and he comes behind me to draft behind me. Well, I didn't know, but there's this unspoken rule that you're supposed to ask before you draft, and he didn't ask him. And so I noticed that we went from about 18 miles an hour, and we're back up to 20. And so, and then after a little while, I think that we went from 20, and we're about at 22, 23. And we hit 25. And I don't know why he's doing this. He's doing this because he's bugged with a guy behind me, but he doesn't realize his bugging of him is bugging me. And I was just, you say, did you stay with him? I stayed with him all the way. You say, why? Because if I didn't stay with him, I'd have to ride back and not get the draft off anybody. And I stayed with him. And there's more than one point, honestly, but there's more. Forget it. Let him go on. There was more than one point. You know what God does? How many understand if you're a child of God, he's trying to make more out of us than what we are. He's trying to do a work in our life. Can we agree with that? You'll never be more than what you are until you're pushed beyond what you are. And boy, when you're pushed beyond what you are, you're sitting back saying, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can take this. And you know what we do? The candle, that desire, that light of, I want to succeed, I want to accomplish, I want to be what he wants me to be, I want to get where he wants me to go. One day we say, what's the use? But her candle goeth not out by night. It's a virtue to say, I'm going to stay at it. What have you failed at lately? We don't have time. What is it you've been trying to accomplish in your life for the Lord that somehow you failed and you failed? What is that? I know this. I know you'll never accomplish it if you decide to lay the tools down. You'll never accomplish it if you quit trying. Why hold fast? I'll just give you two thoughts. Number one, because there's a devil who seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why I hold fast. Because there's someone that hopes for your destruction, your ruin, hopes to take away things from you, destroy your testimony, destroy your forward progress for Christ. Oh, have you ever run across the used-to-bes? I used to go to church. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be this. I used to be a preacher. Oh, we have no end to used-to-bes. You say, what's the difference between a used-to-be and a now-is? Only one thing, the now is decided not to let it be an excuse to quit. And her candle goeth not out by night. He seeks to destroy your testimony. He seeks to destroy your forward progress for Jesus Christ. He seeks to kill your zeal to please God, or your zeal to be made like Jesus, or by Jesus into something other than what you've been or what you are. He seeks to steal your rewards. He seeks to steal your future. He seeks to steal your children. I've known many families where parents have wept because it looks like, from everything I can see, Satan's got my kids. I know some of those families where the kids now are serving God. The kids are in his will and doing their best to please the God of heaven. You're looking at one. You say, why? Because somebody's candle didn't go out at night. That's why. Her candle going. Listen, why did you quit? Well, preacher, it just got so hard. And for everyone that says it got so hard, somebody went through it. Hebrews 11 is there to say it can be done. This is Mother's Day. My wife and I, Jake's with us. The rest of the kids are grown. And there have been times that we have looked, and not seriously our life right now, I don't see, and Lord hasn't dealt me about it, but have you ever looked at how many kids are out there that just wish they had someone who their candle wouldn't go out on them? Someone. Somewhere, I'm here if you're good. I'm here if you're bad. I'm not going to justify your wrong, but I'm not leaving you for it. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to love you. I'm here. I love you. And I'm going to pour my love out on you. And I'm going to pour my effort out on you. If every day I feel like I poured it out, I've poured water onto a hot stove and it's evaporated, I'm still going to do it the next day. You say, why? Because my candle's not going out. I bet there's people here, and you know what? Your candle went out on the Lord. Well, I've seen many of that. And the fact is some, they've got stories. And I would be cruel and unkind to say their story didn't matter, because it does matter, and it does hurt, and it was bad. But boy, there's a virtue that we all need a little bit of today, and that virtue is, her candle goeth not out by night. The nights are coming, the difficulties coming, the disappointments are coming, the hurt is coming. Listen, this is life. It's coming. When it comes, is your candle going to stay lit? Is your candle going to stay lit? Her candle goeth not. Why? Why hold on? Because there's a devil. And the devil is out to destroy you. He's out to ruin you. Why hold fast? Why is it too important for my candle to go out? Because there's a thief among us named Satan. Do you realize there are people? I told you about that guy many years ago that he told me the story. He was talking to an older gentleman that was going into surgery. It just comes to mind, so forgive me, but it bears the illustration. And he's walking with the gurney as the fellow's going to a surgery that he doesn't have good chances of surviving it. The man is lost. He's witnessed to him before. And he's trying to win him before he goes into the surgery. And he said, Christ will save you. The guy said, I'm not interested. And he said something else. He said, I'm not interested. He said, but you don't understand. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm not interested. And I thought to myself, who put his candle out? What put his candle out? I'm not interested in salvation. I'm not interested in heaven. I'm not interested in your Savior. Who put his candle out? What put his candle out? What put yours out? You know, I found out that when the candle goes out in our life, there is no one that says it went out, but it was unjustified. When it goes out, we all believe our position is justified. We are at the end of our trial, at the end of the difficulty, we are Jonah. I do well to be angry. That's where we're at. You know, sometimes it's a hard thing to get through trials and difficulties without that smoke permeating you. But you don't have to let the candle go out. We bought the house, and we opened the windows, and we painted and covered stuff, and we tore stuff out and gutted stuff. Anybody ever let like a garment lay somewhere where it picked up the odor of where you left it lay? You know how to get rid of the odor? Well, Downy. No, not Downy. No. You know how to get rid of the odor? Change the environment. Go hang it up outside in the sun, fresh air. Oh, it won't be overnight, but eventually it'll dissipate the smoke. I wonder how many people that their candle went out wouldn't have gone out if they decided to change their environment. Well, where would I go? Church isn't a bad thing. Isn't it the wildest thing that when problems come along, one of the first places we drop is church, like it was their fault? Like that's the one place. I can't imagine. The one place you get the Word of God, the one place that we're taught the Bible, and the one place we forsake. I've watched it this past year. Breaks my heart. You see what? People that attended and eventually said, I'm done. Why? And they'll never give you an answer. And it breaks my heart. And I pray for them to return. But I just got to believe. You know what really happened? You know what really, really happened? What happened? Their candle went out. The steam, the zeal, the desire, the longing, it just went out. That's it. They finally caved. They finally caved. A week ago yesterday, my son was up, his family, and Friday we played racquetball, played three games with him. Saturday we played racquetball, played four games with him. He did a real improvement between Friday and Saturday. He really did. He was hitting it up, and I'm running all over the place, and I don't want to be running all over the place, but I am, and I'm thinking, stop, make me run all over the place. And I'm just hitting the ball back and stuff like that. And I got done with that third game, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm done. But I didn't want to say I'm done because he was enjoying it so much. And so I looked at him and I said, I can't say I'm not sure I have another game in me. No. You don't say that. You say, do you have another game in you? I said, got another game in you? He said, sure. Yeah. And I was so shocked. I was so done. You know how you know when a guy that is very competitive is done? Is when he doesn't care if he wins. And I was at the point, I didn't care. Matter, I did not care at all. But I stayed at it. You say, why? Because I just don't get a whole lot of time with my son. And he was up. And I was just enjoying some son-father time. And he was enjoying some son father time. And although I'd have been fine with going home and getting a malt, he wanted to play. And I said, I'll play for you. For candle goeth not out at night, I wonder how many people you've given up on. I wonder how many things, I wonder how many people used to be for Jesus and they're not anymore. I wonder how many people are kind of floundering in that position. Rachel, I'm still in the Word and I'm still praying and I'm still trying to serve God, but I got to tell you, the smoke's permeated the bottle. You know how it is. You know how it is. We see someone in that condition and we say, well, you know, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her? They don't seem to be as zealous. You know, they've been missing a few times. And we grow critical of them versus saying, I wonder if the smoke's permeating them. You become as a bottle in the smoke and you're not sure you're going to be able to say at the end of your trial, yet I have kept thy word. Why? Why is it so important that we hold on? Because there is a thief among us. There are people that have lost their concern. There are wives that have no love for their husbands. There are husbands that hold bitterness in their heart for their wives. There are mothers and fathers who have given up on their children. There are Christians who no longer try. They found their excuse. They're holding on to their justification. All of them, their candle has gone out. Why hold fast? I'll give you the other thought. Because there are trials, troubles, and disappointments in this life. And candle going out is not going to stop them. There's still darkness when the candle goes out. It's not like you're going to stop the trouble. But great idea. It's a dark house. Make sure the candle goes out. That'll help you navigate. I don't understand what the sense is. As Christians, we let the candle go out. Well, I'm done with it. You think there's nothing up ahead? Is it better with Christ or without Him? Is it better walking with Him or without Him? And the virtue. Look up here. Listen, listen. Well, preacher, that's just not my makeup. That's not Adam's makeup. That's why the Bible says, you know what Peter said? Add to your faith virtue. He said, you do this. How am I going to do it? One step at a time. I talked about that long, long, boring trip of 2.5 hours down to Somerset. And as a kid, man, I thought it was a long, long trip. It really was, in my mind. I've told you before, I just never traveled well. When we first had to take the trip to Florida, my first time to Florida, I was pastoring a church here. First time. And we're going to take the trip to Florida. How long is it, Brother Floor? He invited us down. He said, oh, it'll be about 11, 12 hours. I thought, hours? There's no way. I can't do that. And you know what I figured out? I figured out I can't do that, but I can make a marker for Louisville and I can get there. Then I can make a marker for Bowling Green, and I can get there. And then I can make a marker for Huntsville or for Birmingham or Montgomery. And I can keep making markers. And the little markers, I'm just worried about getting to here. And I'm just worried about getting to here. And let me tell you something. When it gets difficult and hard, the markers have to get closer. You say, well, it's just the day. It can get hard enough to where the day doesn't even work. I don't know if I can get through the day. Then get through the moment. You squeeze them closer. You say, why? Because my candle's not going out. Someone's counting on my candle. Her candle didn't go out because there was someone in the middle of the night that needed her. Hey, Christian, listen. Do you think your nights are all for you? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others also with the same comfort we're comforted with. You didn't go through that night for you. You went through it for somebody else. How careless that you would allow your candle to go out that might be the light for somebody else. Oh, the virtue of this woman, the virtue of this mother. No, it's not that they say, it's not that they bring the gifts at Mother's Day. It's not that they remember her birthday. It's not that they dote over her. No, it has nothing to do with what they do for me. It has to do for the light for them. Thank God for mothers whose candle has not gone out. But thank God for Christians whose candle's not gone out. I can't believe, I'm going to say this, I've talked enough negative about me. When I came here, I decided this wasn't going to be a stopping place on the way to better things. A lot of pastors are like that. I'll get some training here. I'll go on, get a bigger church. Bigger church is what they want. I wouldn't even want a church for that matter. And when I came here, I said, I believe God called me here. And you know what? If he calls me away, I'll leave. If he didn't call me away, I'm fine to die here. I can't believe it's going on 34 years. 34 years. I told you about the guy named Johnson over here many years ago. We lived at the parsonage many years ago. First came here. My sister actually worked in oncology. This man had cancer. This man, she asked me, my sister, would you go see him? I said, sure. So I went to see him and his wife. We chatted. Nice enough conversation. Not interested in Jesus at all. Not interested in the gospel at all. I said, okay. So we chatted for a little bit. I prayed. I left. Came back home. It was about 3 years later, I believe, was it not, Sonia? About 3 years later, something like that. My wife and I are sitting in the living room and knocked on the door. There was a knock. I opened the door up and it was her, is his wife, and she said, hi. I said, you don't remember me? I said, sure I do. Your name is this and you're over here. Went to see you about 3 years ago. And tears began to flow down her face. And she said, my husband's not well. They've given up hope. He wants to talk to someone. And he said he thinks you can help him. Would you come see him? I said, I'll be right over. You know what God's looking to put a little bit of light in somebody else's life by your candle. And you're not going to do that if you let your light go out. If the candle goes out. If the candle ends up being quenched by anger, malice, bitterness. Why this have to happen to me? I don't know. Why'd they do this to me? I don't know. I don't know, but I know this. I know that your light is for somebody else. And if your light goes out, then somebody else isn't getting it. A couple here many years ago, we were in the house we're in now, and many years ago they were here, and we worked with them and worked with them, and they ended up splitting up, and it was bad, and they drifted away, and I'm going years now. I'm going maybe probably 8 years passed by, maybe 10. I was out here in the parking lot, and a car pulled in, and the window came down, and I looked, and I remember it was the woman. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, I'm back from Florida. I said, well, great. She talked about how life wasn't going well. She said, I just wondered if you were still here. I said, I'm still here. And if I can help you, I will. You know, there's people that look at you, Christian, and say, I'm just wondering, are you still there? I'm not talking about a geographical place now. They're just wondering if you're still in, if you're still on fire, if you still love the Lord, if you're still following him, still walking with him. And the virtue says her candle doesn't go out by night. What night quenched yours? What night quenched your candle? What would it take to light it again? What would it take to light it again? Preacher friend of mine, no longer in the area, he preached a message, and I guess it went well for him. I don't know. He called me up. He said, I preached a message this morning. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I titled it, it was an evangelistic message. What will it take to bring you to God? I never forgot the title. I never heard the message, but I never forgot the title. But it's a great statement that deals with lost and saved alike. What's it going to take to get you to light your candle again? God, I've lost my zeal. If you'll light it in my heart again, I sure will be more careful not to let it go out. Because God, I don't have any interest in your Bible. Oh, I reference it. It's your word, but I don't really read it because I have more important things. I don't have interest in your will. Oh, I believe in prayer, but you know what? My life just doesn't go that way now, and none of us say we don't like it. None of us say we hate it. No. We have reverence for it. We just have no interest in it. That's it. What would it take to light your interest in God again? What it would take to light your interest in salvation? You know, it boggles my mind. The Bible, if it's true, people that are saved, they go to heaven. They've had their sins washed in the blood of Christ. That supernatural work of salvation has happened in them. People that are not, they're on their way to a godless eternity in a place called hell. And I'm thinking, why would that await you? You say, well, I don't believe that. Fine, okay. Then the Bible's not true. If that's not true, the Bible's not true. But what's it going to take to bring you to God? You let your candle go out. Well, it wasn't me, preacher. It was this, 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 this. Point to what you want. But there's one in the Bible that says, sorry, no excuse. I won't go to the verses for the sake of time, but I want everybody to listen to this. You can challenge, you go to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, there's a verse of scripture where it says that Jesus, he set his face as though he would go to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, he went to an area and they were offended that his face was toward Jerusalem. You say, why? Because the time of the crucifixion had come up. Now look for a second. Look, listen. Why is that a big deal? Because humanly, there's no place he'd rather not be than Jerusalem. In that he feared, the Bible says in Hebrews. There's stuff that we recoil from. There's stuff that we pull back from. That doesn't mean that we don't move towards it. Jesus set his face. In the book of Isaiah, it says this. He said, I've set my face like a flint. Are you saying? I'm going. There is virtue in someone saying, by your grace, God, I will not let my candle go out. By your grace, I'm not going to let... And there's some, no doubt, here that's saying, preacher, too late. And there's some that's saying, preacher, it's just flickering right now. There's an ember left where the wick was up, preacher. It's almost gone. Then what's it going to take to say, God, light it again, please? What I say is scripture over in the book of Jeremiah, when God's dealing with the nation of Israel about their walking away from them and away from him and walking away in their own ways. It says there's coming a day when you're going to return. And he said, and you're going to say to me, turn me and I shall be turned. Oh, you got to mark the verse. Turn me and I shall be turned. Come here for a second. Stand right there. Would you face me? This is Israel. I don't want you to turn me. I want you to resist me. And the Lord tries to turn him. Stop. You know what? That's God dealing with you. If you're lost, I know he looks funny doing that, but it's a serious point. That's you if you're a Christian and you're resisting God. That's you. Until one day God says, "Fine, stay there." And then we go on in life with no light. We go on in life with no joy. We go on in life with no peace. And eventually, we begin to long. God, I don't like where I'm at. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. These things have permeated me and they're through me, and I can't even talk without them coming out. Lord, would you come back and turn? I promise if you'll come back and turn me, I'll let you this time. Go sit down. Thank you. When I was 20 years old, after a life without God, away from him, saved at 6, but away from him, I prayed and I said, God, please deal with me again. I'd like to feel it again. I'd like to feel conviction. I'd like to feel bad because you put your finger on something in my life and it's been so long. I feel bad, but it has nothing to do with your conviction. It has to do with my life. And I've let my candle go out and I can't seem to light it again. Ah, what a phrase. This virtuous woman, her candle goeth not out by night. Jesus said, I don't want to go to the cross. I despise the cross. But they need me. And so I will set my face like a flint. I wish there were some Christians today that would say, I'm setting my face like a flint. I'm getting back to where I used to be. I wish there's some people today that say, you know what? I have walked so many years away from God or without God. I would like to know him. Your candle went out on church. Your candle went out on God. Your candle went out on truth, salvation. There's troubles and trials. There's troubles and trials. Real fast and I'm done. Are we all right this morning? What are the troubles? Disappointment, discouragement. That was Elijah's issue. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. So he said, God, just kill me. Would you please just kill me? others' treatment of you. Paul said that all Asia had turned away from him. That's kind of hard. But the worst one, you know what the worst one is? The worst one is because of failures, personal failures. Because of the pride that resides within us all, failures just cripple us because we hate to admit we failed. David brought most of the trouble on his family himself, but he finished on the throne and he finished right with God. If I had not learned that failures are only failures if it's what stops me, I would have quit long ago. Failures are opportunities. You know, if at first you don't succeed, that kind of thing. Thomas Edison, you know, he said, I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. He also said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. Troubles of life, failures of ourselves and others, the disappointments, the discouragements, the setbacks, they just tend to fragrance us, don't they? I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. I wonder how many people here could relate to the first of that verse, but not the last. I have become like a bottle in the smoke. Hey, mothers, God bless you. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for the prayers that have continued. In spite of the fact that you didn't receive what you should have received from us and care for us. We probably gave you 1,000 reasons to give up on us. Thank you that your candle didn't go out at night. But I wonder how many Christians I'm talking to and you say, preacher, I'm not a mom. There's another area where my candle's going out or my candle's gone out. Yeah. And the question is, do you even care for God to light it again? I will tell you this, if he never lights your candle again, if your candle stays quenched the rest of your days, you will be of hopeless help to anyone. Hopeless help. Your trial, your night, was not for you. It might have been to you. You might have had to endure it, but you know how many others are out there that are having to endure and they're looking for someone who in the midst of their night said, my candle's not going to go out. My hope is not going to go out. My effort is not going to go out. My love is not going to go out. My long suffering is not going to go out. Fact is, there's some that don't seek Jesus at all. You say, why? Candle went out. There's some that don't seek eternal life at all. Why? Candle went out. This morning, this Mother's Day morning, I just read about a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And it connected with a theme through Psalms 119. I'm continually being pushed to quit, but I've not forsaken your work. I wonder what in your life the nights have caused you to forsake. Well, preacher, I do everything I'm supposed to do. Yeah, fine. Have you lost the heart for it? Then your candle went out. You know what? It'd be a great day today if someone on Mother's Day would say, you know what? I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't read the Bible. I don't go to church. I'm not interested in hearing it. I've kept myself safely away from the gospel message. You know, it'd be nice for you to understand that for whatever reason, I don't know why, you put a candle out. Stay far enough away from it, I won't have to deal with it. But someday we all have to deal with it because someday we're all going to stand before God. But I wonder how many Christians here today would say, you know, there's areas in my life. Is there something you used to pray for? You've laid it down. Candle went out. I wonder how many candles we have represented in this room. And you would say, if you're honest, I need to have that candle lit again. It'd be a great day to ask God to do. Bow our heads, please.